From Taiwan to Cook Islands.
From the United Kingdom to the United States of America.
From Switzerland to Canada.
From Morocco to South Africa.
There is a Nigerian with something for the ears of the world.
Listen to Nigerians in Diaspora on Diaspora Discourse on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Diaspora Discourse, bringing Nigerians in Diaspora closer home. Diaspora Discourse, bringing Nigerians in Diaspora closer home. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, the authentic source of Nigerian information, bringing Nigerians in Diaspora up to speed, while at the same time bringing Nigerians in Diaspora closer home. It's still the voice of Yoyin Sola right here. And still on Diaspora Discourse for today, the last call we took, we spoke to Mr. Shei Adefison. And moving on now, I have Mr. Olabode Samuel. Good day to you, sir.
Good day. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Okay. So, Mr. Olabode Samuel, you stay in the United States, right?
That is correct.
Absolutely. Okay,
yeah,
so that's...
Houston, Texas.
Okay, Houston, Texas.
That is correct.
All right. Okay, so I think that's what I know about you. So, please tell me more about yourself. Tell me about yourself.
Well, I originated from the Lagos Island of Lagos, Nigeria, born and raised. I am from the Brazilian border descent, you know, the Lagos Island.
Okay.
I did school also in Lagos. I attended a government college, COE.
Okay.
And went on to further my education, Federal Polytechnic of, as well as Edo State University, probably Ambrose Ali University.
Okay.
And I did work in Nigeria for a while as a banker.
Okay.
Which one of the prominent banks before deciding to migrate to the U.S. A little about two decades ago now. You know, there would be so many reasons why many of us decide to leave and, you know, come abroad. Either political, or it could be, you know, infrastructure or anything.
Okay.
For me, it was just a basic infrastructure, you know. We are not getting what we deserve.
Hello?
You know, we're not getting what we deserve, and that's what brought me to the shores of the United States. And, I've been here and we've been able to integrate ourselves into the system and part of the corporate America. But it's worked a while. You know? Currently, I'm an IT consultant, you know.
Okay.
Software engineer. Working for a multinational organization here in the United States. So, pretty much about it for now.
Okay. Hello?
Our support to the country in general.
Okay, so I'm guessing that's it, right? Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. I think I lost you for some seconds. Hello? Okay, now I can hear you. I lost you for some seconds. Please, can you come again with your last statement?
Which one of them?
Okay, I think I stopped at the part where you said, okay, you talked about what you do for a living. You said you're an IT consultant.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Okay. IT consultant here in Texas.
Okay.
And a license.
Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Okay, I'm guessing that we have, I think the network is fluctuating, so there's back and forth. All right, okay, so that's it as regards, you know, you telling me about yourself. All right, so you've talked about what you do for a living, and you said you've been there for over two decades, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so you also talked. Yes, you also talked about your decision, why you decided to migrate from Nigeria to the United States. You said for basic infrastructural facilities.
That is correct.
Beautiful. Yeah. Okay, so tell me, what has been your experience so far? You've been there for over 2 decades. What has it been so far as a Nigerian living in the diaspora?
It's been up and down. Anybody that migrate from anywhere in the world to these shores usually find it a little, daunting, a little, challenging.
Okay.
In the beginning.
Okay.
I think everybody can say that, but at the end of the day, you just got to kind of understand why you're there in the first place, and still, set your own goals as to where you're going and what you intend to achieve. Hmm. So it wasn't that easy, coming from where everybody almost and know everything everywhere, to just and literally starting over. That's the most challenging for me. It's like you just have to drop everything you have, your qualification, your everything, and then, start right all over again.
Mm.
So, it wasn't easy. It's not been easy, but they're good, they're bad, good times and bad times. Always high and lows, just like anywhere else in the world. So. Mm.
Okay, so definitely I totally agree with the fact where you talked about, having to start afresh, leaving your country to go to another country to start afresh. You can understand how difficult that would be. But that being said, how often do you visit Nigeria?
I used to visit like every year or twice a year.
Okay.
Up until 2012. It's just... for some of us in the diaspora, a lot of us have high hopes and aspiration as to being somebody here, coming over there, either to invest, start a business, or do something for the country.
Mm.
But in a situation where you put all these efforts together, and then trying to find the right people to manage your business, or it's hard to find someone honest.
Mm.
Not even in your family, to find somebody who will be genuine and compassionate about what you're trying to do versus what they really wanted now.
Mm.
So, all that, it's just so tough, and the government is not even helping, I'll give you an hypothetical example. If you buy a car in the United States, I don't care what kind of car it is, whether it's a luxury car or a regular car.
Mm.
If you intend to ship it from United States to Nigeria.
Mm.
Since I've been in this country, the prices fluctuates between $950 for over 2 decades now.
Mm.
$950 to bring a car to the shores of Nigeria to $1,200. It's between that range. It will never pass. I don't care what kind of car it is. Okay?
Yes.
But now we get to Nigeria, we get tariffs that are so outrageous.
Mm.
And so conspicuous, sometimes the tariff they've charged you or try to claim the car, it's way more than how much you paid for the car over here in the United States.
Mm.
And even way more than what you used to ship it, And I think the system itself is it's so wrong. It's you need a whole lot of revamp, from beginning, from scratch, to the hand, because when I was making those decisions, how could we not have set tariff to pay to pay our vehicles or our shipment or whatever we were to bring, So you have to go get a date because you know exactly what prices are. So you can go on and on and on and on. So it's a lot of frustration for us, and then you come back home, roads are not well, we're tired, and we don't still have the same lights, the same infrastructure that made us to leave the first place. It's still the same thing that happened when we came with the understanding that the military guys, they were not meant to really come, a country where their job is to understand, the nation, Now, I don't know, we have our civilian people, the government support. Kind of life, you know, they gave us attended free education for a while before this country jumped us came, you know. So and when we come in on first class, everything you need is on your desk, this which is name, your pencil, your pen, everything. All your parents need to do is to close on your back and, you know, send you to school, keep to our forms, you know. So, I mean, if you can figure out, during that time, Jack O'Dell was the Gulf, chief of Bafford, So I don't know where we're going to go from there. I'll give you another example with our neighbors, West African colony, Ghana.
Okay.
They call this year the year of return. And what they do is they come overseas and kind of like bringing, you know, competent and people like us and, you know, all over the places and, you know, sit down with them and, you know, ask questions and, you know, put them in place and say, okay, let us do this thing together.
Okay.
Integrate them in the system. Now, Ghana is one of the best economies in Africa, you know. So, why can't, and some years ago during Shagari's time, we were chasing Ghanaians away, Ghana must go. Remember that bag that you guys call Ghana must go today?
Yes, we did.
That's where the name came from. That was what they were using to take their stuff and leave. That's why I get that name, Ghana must go. You know? So now today, they are a better country. Then they were our teachers. We're teaching us mathematics, physics, chemistry. Everywhere you look, secondary school, primary schools, they're all Ghanaians. You know, our Mr. Dakos, our Mr. Adoa, you know, and all that, you know. They've all come back to their country and they've developed their country. We won't have Indians teaching in our secondary schools, you know. Now today, you know, we can boast of a good secondary school, you know. We can boast of a good primary school. People are sending people to their kids to private school. So I come to Nigeria and I employ a driver for a month or two that I'll be staying. They have children in private schools, you know? I mean, everywhere is private schools now. I don't know why. I mean, so what are the government doing for our people, you know? And where do we need to correct the wrongs? You know, I know some, for me, I just think it's a continuity. You know, this government need to be able to continue what the last government does, whether good or, you know,
whether good. Not bad, please. Just good.
Yes. You know, I mean, instructions that is, you know, is approved, is assigned for, what's going to stop the work when another government comes in? It doesn't happen here. You know? You will be happy to pay your tax. Whenever you buy something and they say plus tax, you will be excited. Do you know why? Because tomorrow, without your consent, they're going to come and, you know, when they inspect that your road is not good, they're going to then, you know, dig the whole thing and redo it all over again without even telling you. That's what government does in a country like this. So they should be doing that and stop embezzling the money. Yes, you're going to make money from, you know, contractors or something like that, but let them do the job, let them do the work, you know? And so that sometimes we have some issues here too, you know, we being black in America. I mean, that's a tough call right there. You know, I've been to an interview with all my qualifications that the recruiter has already told me I'm the best qualified guy for this job. Once I entered into the interview, you can see the countenance of this white guy that want to interview you, you know? You can see the countenance that, oh my God, how did you get here, you know? And I have a last name that don't look like Nigerian last name. I have a middle name that don't look like Nigerian last name. You know? So, you know, you probably thought I'm an European or somewhere, you know, and saw that you're black, and the interview was like almost over.
Wow.
And then some places when you get there, the qualification, they're excited to accept you, you know, and like, you know, they will just ask you, when can you start? And then, you know, so that's when I say ups and downs, highs and lows here, you know, it's always been like that, especially for a lot of us that are highly qualified, you know, that have gone through, you know, their tertiary institution here, because like I told you, you know, when you come here, you have to start all over again, you know. you have to start all over again, and then, you know, decide what you want to do. For some of us, we decide to go back to, you know, to college and start it all over again. And I mean, it does pay off, but I believe of our country, you know, can do better than what they are doing right now, currently. I mean, I understand that you're saying, you know, it's improved, it's better, it's all that. Let me ask you this question and see how improved it is. How many times have they called you or put it on radio or TV that said in your area the power outage is going to be gone from hour A to hour B?
That they would have to excuse me, that they would have to send a message to inform you that they're going to take the power out. Is that what is that your question?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I'm asking. How many times have they called you guys or put it in the radio or, you know?
Well, depending. Well, I think depending on what the situation is, if there is an issue with the transformer or there's an issue somewhere, I think they're going to inform the people through the media. Actually, people in that particular area, they would inform them through the media that, okay, in this particular area, that is going to be, the power is going to be out for, let's say, you know, a day or two. Yes, we get things like that. Things like that actually do happen.
Okay. I mean, I have to come to see it.
That is my point. You know, that is my point. I feel like you've been away for too long.
I remember growing up, and that's what we hear on radio, this area to this area, you know, going to have power or water, you know, from this time to that time. Mm-hmm. And usually, let's say, for example, they give you like 4 hours. It might be within 2 hours to what the water is back on, the power is back on, you know, and that's when NEPA was NEPA, and that's when, you know, water resources. You see what I'm saying? So everything does, I mean, I'm so surprised and so disappointed that we have voted people in, you know, and they just keep answering to people's tone or, you know, and or whatnot. But I hope it changes, and I hope because a whole lot of us want to come back home, to be honest with you. But when you try to and you get frustrated, you know,
I think I would just ask, I'd only ask that you come visit. 2012 is such a long time. This is 2020. A lot has happened.
Oh, yeah, it's been, I know.
So I think you need to come see for yourself. If you could be impressed the last time you were around, like you said you even had to extend your stay. And that was far back as 2012.
Yeah, that was not actually the last time that I came. That was prior to the last time.
Okay, prior to the last time. So you can.
Yeah, I think doing fashion last time was like 2009 or something like that. 2010.
Yeah, so you can imagine how much more improvement. All right. Well, that being said, I got something from what you were saying. You talked about the discrimination, that at times you get to experience discrimination, employment discrimination and all of that. And, you know, it brings me to your expectations. Before leaving Nigeria, I want to be pretty sure that you had a couple of expectations that getting to the United States, I want to achieve this. And right, I want to believe you did. Okay, so from that time to this very moment, looking back, have you been able, with, of course, the challenges, which one of it is the discrimination that you experience, and how much would you say that you've been able to achieve your American dream in the sense, and, you know, being despite all the discrimination and challenges that you have to face?
Yeah, I want to say about between 80 to 90% of achievement of my goals, you know. So I've really, you know, after passing through the hurdles, you know, I've really not gone through, you know, too many issues other than, you know, regular, you know, economic and, you know, and also, there's discrimination everywhere, you know. You make a wrong turn somewhere in some places and then stop in their gas station. People will look at you like, okay, how did you get here? What is they doing here? You know. I went for a wedding in a place called Waskahatchee, Texas. And it was a country, like, have you seen the movie Wild Wild West? You know, like the cowboys and Indian type of time. There's still some neighborhood, there's still some towns like that. Some places in America. So when you get there, you're like, okay, what's going on here? Okay. You drive through, you stop in the gas station, and everybody's looking at you like, okay, you know, and they're getting ready to put their hand beside by their gun, like, you know, just in case. So you know, it's this country itself was founded on slavery, and some people cannot
get over
outgrow that, and and even how we ourselves, especially our people back home, they are not also helping. Not helping in the sense that they just believe everything is just all rosy, and you know, and you know, and they're not even giving you the home support that you needed. You know, I can understand if I'm being persecuted right here, you know, abroad. But when I come home, I want to feel at home.
Yes,
you know, and not to be judged or not to be, you know, discriminated against, because you know, people just smell that you, if you're not from there, they want to take advantage of you right there and then. Those attitudes should stop, and let us be comfortable coming home and to do something, you know, for the greater good of our country, you know.
Okay, so, I was actually going to talk about investments in Nigeria. You know, you've been there for quite a while, and looking at, well, I'm going to ask about investment. You've been away for so long, and
me,
from, okay. So, are you saying you have investments in Nigeria?
Oh man, most definitely.
Beautiful. Well, before we go into that,
I've been investing before I leave.
Okay.
So,
all right. Before we go into the, before we go into the details of that, I would want to ask, who's your favorite Nigerian artist?
Well, I don't know right now. You know, I've seen Genevieve often on Netflix. You know, and yeah, quite a few of them.
Okay, music for music artists. For music artists.
Well, I think I like Davido for his humbleness. I mean, for, I want to say Wizkid.
Okay. You know, okay.
Mostly.
Okay.
It's my boy, you know.
Ooh,
so
okay.
I think it's humble. So,
okay, because
he's all right too. I don't have anything against him.
I was actually asking, considering that we want to take a quick music break, and I want to play for you an artist that is your favorite in Nigeria, and of course a music that you like from the artist. That's why I'm asking. So, which is your favorite?
Oh.
Wizkid. So I should play anything from Wizkid. Is that fine?
From Whiskey
Refrain, right.
Especially the one he talks about, you know, Ojuelegba and stuff.
Ojuelegba. Okay, but you're an island man, not an Ojuelegba man, right?
If you look at the contents of that music, it kind of like speak to almost everybody growing up from Lagos, you know, struggle to become somebody. So it's not just, but he came from Ojuelegba, so I'm sure if he comes from Sumulere, we would have talked about that, or from the island, but that's where he came from. But the struggle and the context around that music, it talks you to literally almost everybody that comes from, you know,
struggle,
from grass to grace, you know. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay, so just hang on. Let's go listen to Ojuelegba by Wizkid. And when we come back, definitely we'll take one more, two questions. And then we'll wrap it up. Thank you.
Thinking of life. Oh, I can't tell. me thinking the fly. Oh, I can't explain. I can't explain. Yeah. I'm feeling good tonight. This thing got me thinking of life. I can't explain.
That was Ojoelegba by Wizkid. Wizkid is definitely one of Nigeria's finest, Nigeria's best, and definitely is one of the entertainers, one of the music artists that is flying the Nigerian flag high and shining the Nigerian light bright. And okay, that's it. Well, still on Diaspora Discourse, we've been talking to Mr. Olabode Samuel, and we've had quite a couple of things to say about staying in the diaspora and, of course, about Nigeria. And we've discussed the electricity in particular. All right, Mr. Olabode, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so first of all, hope you enjoyed
that song, you know.
Okay, I was going to say that. Hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, yes.
I wish you had more time. We would have, you know, given you from Davido, from Wizkid, from Joe Savage, and all the, you know.
To Burna Boy, right?
Ooh, to Burna Boy. Not to worry. Maybe after the when we round up the show, we'll probably just leave you with beautiful music. Okay, well, that being said, let's move on to other things. And I've talked about the discrimination, and you know, you have been able to handle discrimination and all of that. Okay, so what is your take on Nigerians in diaspora getting involved in voting activities in Nigeria?
Well, that's a tough call. You know, I think I've had that discuss with some of my friends.
Okay.
On that matter, before, but for me, I mean, in person, I don't think we're there yet to that level.
Okay.
For the simple fact that, first of all, we can't even properly be accountable for our votes at home.
Mm.
You know, like you can't, you know, people can just come and do whatever they can and to disrupt the electrons, you know, and stuff like that without, you know, giving proper accountability at home.
Mm.
So why are we wasting our time here and saying send your vote here and all that and all that? I just think it would be another avenue for some people to rig the election in one way or the other.
Okay.
But I don't think we're ready for that yet. I think we should be more focused at home first and ensure that our electoral system works and it's actually the representation of the people.
Okay.
You know, up until today, Nigeria cannot say precisely exactly what's the population of Nigeria up until today.
Mm-hmm.
The last census they have was probably, you know, some decades ago. So, I mean, all those things. And then instead of doing a national national security number or social security number, they are doing BVN. You know, I mean, how does that help the markets, the paper seller in Sangros market or, you know, some other market in Itafaj? You see what I'm saying? I mean, we need to be thinking beyond what is going to make a media or something like that, you know. I'm not saying the BVN is not a good idea, but it's not something that should have come first. It should have been either national identification or a social security number that's attached to every individual citizen of Nigeria. Just like you have a BVN that's attached to every account. We're going where the money is. We're not going where the people are. And that's what they did. Until they do something like that, I'll give you an hypothetical example. In the United States, for example, now, during this pandemic, everybody's at home. We're working from home. Some of my colleagues have lost their jobs, you know, and stuff like that. You know, know. But the government was still able to, you know, disburse hello?
Hello, yes, I'm with you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
So, I mean, money is able to be disbursed
okay.
to everybody's individual account or mail check to their last known address, you know, for every citizen. Not just citizen of the United States, but also residents, people who are working here legally and are paying tax. You see what I'm saying? And how did they get to that point? Through what they call a social security number, you know? It looked like the VVN that they did for the banking, but it's now this one is for people. Every individual person born in any hospital in Nigeria will be assigned that number.
Okay.
And that way you can actually articulate the population of the actual Nigeria, not people coming in from all over the places and, you know, mixing and mingling. We don't have a good system. So when you now say diaspora should be voting, I just think it's for now. You know, it might be something feasible in the future, but for now, it looks way above Nigeria's pay grade because somebody's just going to mess up the whole thing and, you know, but they can do it. Mm. Until then I know that, okay, my vote is going to count because I have a social security number that I'm going to use to vote. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
So until then, but now I don't think it's what is next. I think they should fix that electoral system in Nigeria, and then we will want to vote, you know, want to come back home and you know, stay forever, you know.
Okay, stay forever. Are we sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no place like home anywhere you go. You know.
Yes, I needed to establish that.
You know, maybe. Yeah, maybe my kids may not want to come, but I was born and raised there. I enjoy my time and my life in Lagos, so it's always been a part of me. So, it will be something very interesting to retire back home. You know, this is not a place for an old man. You know, have you seen that movie? You know, No Place for an Old Man.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, there's a movie like that. So, but anyway.
Okay, I could check it out. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, so on the final note, I want to ask you I want you to nominate. Because very soon Nigeria is going to clock 60. That's on the 1st of October. Nigeria is going to clock 60, and that's in a couple of months from now. And we want to, here at Spirit of Nigeria, it's one of our agenda to have a compilation of 60 Nigerians at 60. 60 Nigerians who are flying the flag high and who are shining the Nigerian light bright. And then we want to, you know, have a compilation, have a list of 60 Nigerians, and therefore we want people to nominate 60 Nigerians. So I'm throwing it open for you now. Who would you nominate for Nigerians in the diaspora who are doing amazingly well, and of course through the legal means?
And then who are 60 years old?
No, not 60. No. Not 60. Well, we're nominating 60 of them. Hello. Oh, okay, network. Okay, so while we are trying to get our network to cooperate with us, well, we're still talking to Mr. Olabode Samuel. And then, you know, we've been talking about Nigeria, and we've been talking about, you know, what he's been talking about, what he wants to see happen in Nigeria, and then talking about the electoral, the Nigerians in diaspora getting involved with electoral activities in Nigeria. He said that from his own perception, he thinks we are not there yet, and that Nigeria needs to fix the electoral process, needs to fix, you know, a whole lot as regards the electoral process in Nigeria. Before then, we can now start talking about diaspora voting. But, okay, we have you back.
I think we lost.
Yes, it was.
I think we loved each other for a minute.
Then. Yes, for a minute. All right, so good to have you back. Yeah. As I was saying, I was talking about the not Nigerians who are 60. No, I'm not talking about Nigerians who are 60. I'm talking about, I just want you to nominate. You can nominate as many as you want. Let's say like 2, 3, 4 or thereabout. But we are combining 60 Nigerians here at Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Well, I mean, I would not want to nominate anybody without their consent, you know.
Right.
If you guys have a link that we can send, you know.
Yes, we do.
That would be invasion of privacy if I just nominate somebody. What if they don't like it? What if they like their privacy?
Okay.
Know? So if you guys have a link or something that we can, you know, send message to, yeah, we're more than willing to do that.
Okay.
But not just right off bat, because it will be important for us to respect our people's privacy.
Okay, so we have a link, which is spiritofnigeriaradio.com. Spiritofnigeriaradio.com. Okay. So yes, you could send in your nominations, and would add it to the ones we already have. All right, thank you so much, Mr. Olabode Samuel. It's been a great time with you, and of course, I've also got to, you know, learn one or two things, and I'm sure that not just myself, people also would have also been able to pick a couple of things from what you said. Thank you so much for your time. And thank you so much for sharing with us on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
No problem at all. All right. Thank you all for having me. It was a pleasure. And, you know, feel free and do not hesitate to contact me whenever you need anything. And be able to do our best to support.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right. So please enjoy the rest of your day, sir.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Yes, CG. Okay, so that's it. Coming from Mr. Olabode Samuel, it's been a beautiful time. Of course, you know, it's been an interesting time with Mr. Olabode Samuel. But right now, time is not even getting friendly anymore. We have to wrap it up on Diaspora Discourse. And of course, wrap it up for my own belt for today. It's been an amazing moment. It's been an amazing time. Back to back, beautiful content from the morning to this very moment, and I'm happy. I feel like we've been able to do justice to today, and of course tomorrow is another time, tomorrow is another day, new day Nigeria tomorrow, and then we'll take it to the state of the states and move on to Diaspora Discourse. But then you wouldn't know what we have in store for you tomorrow if you do not stay tuned to Spirit of Nigeria Radio, right? Okay, so stay tuned to Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Definitely my colleague is going to step in person of Mac Dike, and is going to take you from this very moment as we speak, but it's going to take you for the rest of the day. All right, this is where I get to draw my curtains, take a bow, and say bye-bye. And I'll be leaving you with Uzana by Otskid. Enjoy.
Oh yeah, say blessing goes to come my way. Ooh, yeah, yeah. Now each and every day, oh, why does they come my blessings? Yeah. So I be like, oh mama, mom see your boy down the globe and now. We dey go far now, see the kind place we dey shut down now. Yeah, we started from Instagram, take a look at me now, I'm a superstar. We dey go far now, see the kind place we dey shut down now. Yeah, so I be like,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
From Taiwan to Cook Islands.
From the United Kingdom to the United States of America.
From Switzerland to Canada.
From Morocco to South Africa.
There is a Nigerian with something for the ears of the world.
Listen to Nigerians in Diaspora on Diaspora Discourse on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Diaspora Discourse, bringing Nigerians in diaspora closer home.